how can we make an impact on somebody else? How can we influence someone? You may never become a missionary or a worship leader or an evangelist. Could you, in the business world, at home, at school, or let's even get narrower, what if you're confined to a hospital bed? Could your life make a difference? The answer to that question is a resounding absolutely.
Advertisement companies spend millions of dollars to influence people to take some kind of action. Have you thought about the power of influence you have on the people around you? Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzik explains how our lives can make an eternal impact. Stay tuned after the teaching when Skip and Lenya share how our worship can impact others.
I think it's very encouraging to be among people and to eat, not just to close my eyes all the time, but to open them up and see a person's passion, passionate response to the Lord. That really encourages me. I'm instructed by it. I'm humbled by it sometimes.
Are you having trouble finding the perfect Christmas gift? Look no further. In our annual Connection Christmas catalog, you'll find great gift ideas such as Pastor Levi Lusco's powerful new book, Through the Eyes of a Lion, as well as a book and teaching from Dr. Richard Furman with tips on healthy living. Here's more details on how you can order from our Christmas catalog today.
Today, I dare you, be distinct.
The ordinary Christian life should defy normal. That's the theme of the new book, Defying Normal, from Skip Heitzik. Skip will walk you through the life of the prophet Daniel, a man of conviction who dared to live in a dramatically different way. And you can too. At The Connection, we can't wait to get our Christmas catalog in your hands each year. And this year's no exception. We're pleased and excited to offer you Skip's new book, Defying Normal. The uncompromising life of Daniel is a cry to Christians everywhere to live deeply, live fully, live with conviction, and live well. You'll find yourself challenged to make a difference right where you are, wherever you are. Find Skip's book and other life-impacting gifts in the Connection Christmas Catalog, available at connectiononline.org/offers or by calling 800-922-1888.
One life well lived can impact a family, a neighborhood, a city, a country, two nations like Daniel.
It's tough being a Christian today. Be encouraged to live out your faith with Skip Heitzik's new book, Defying Normal. Order your copy today at defyingnormalbook.com. Now, open your Bible to Acts chapter 18, and let's join Skip for the start of today's study.
Well, it seems as though God was fed up with the world, and one of his last measures was to take three of the most influential people on the earth and fill them in on his end time plan. So with a loud, thunderous boom, President George Bush, President Vladimir Putin of the Russian Federation, and Bill Gates were suddenly in God's presence. And he said, God said to them, I'm very disappointed with this world. And you have 1 week to tell your followers that it's going to end. So with another loud boom, President Bush, Vladimir Putin, and Bill Gates were back on Earth. Immediately, President Bush got his cabinet together and said to them, I have good news and bad news. The good news, there is a God. The bad news, he's really, really mad and the world's going to end in 1 week. Vladimir Putin got his parliament together that same time and he said, comrades, I have bad news and I have worse news. The bad news, we've been wrong. There is a God. The worst news, the world is going to end in 1 week. At the same time, Bill Gates got his top engineers together. And he said, I have good news and I have better news. The good news is that God thinks I'm one of the three most influential people in the world. And the better news is that we don't have to fix all of our bugs in our programs. That was for you, Dale. What would it like to be a person of influence? Webster's Dictionary defines influence as to make an impact on someone, to shape or to even transform another person. Who has made an impact on your life? I want you to take a little test, a quiz, a mental quiz right now. First, name the five wealthiest people in the world. Two, name the last five Heisman Trophy winners. Number three, name the last five winners of the Miss America contest. Number four, name 10 people who have won the Nobel or Pulitzer Prize. Number five, name the last half dozen Academy Award winners for Best Actor or Actress. And number six, name the last decade's worth of World Series winners. How'd you do, I wonder? Probably one or two of you or more could get one of those categories, but I doubt anyone has gotten all of them. When in fact, these are important people. These people have made a great impact. But the headliners of today will quickly be forgotten tomorrow. Now, the quiz continues. Number one, list a few teachers who have helped you through your journey in school. Number two, name three friends who have helped you through a difficult time. Number three, name five people who have taught you something worthwhile. Number four, think of five people you enjoy spending time with. And number five, name a half dozen heroes whose stories have inspired you. Now, here's the bottom line. The people that have impacted you the most are probably not those with the most degrees, those with the most money, those with the most accolades. The people that have impacted you are people who have cared about you and have demonstrated their care in some capacity. Paul, the great apostle, the one we have been studying in this series, had been in Athens. After Athens, he walks 50 miles south to Corinth, a monumental challenge because of the kind of town Corinth was. Yet while he was in Corinth, altogether a year and a half, he made maximum impact on a city, on a Jewish population, on a husband and wife team, we'll meet them in a minute, named Aquila and Priscilla, on young Timothy and Silas, his partner. He made maximum impact in that city through his life, and we're going to discover how. But here's the real question this morning for us. How can we make an impact on somebody else? How can we influence someone? You may never become a missionary or a worship leader or an evangelist. Could you, in the business world, at home, at school, or let's even get narrower, what if you're confined to a hospital bed? Could your life make a difference? The answer to that question is a resounding absolutely. And this morning we want to look at how. We're going to quickly look in chapter 18 at four ways to do it. Four ships, you might say, on the sea of our world that can make a difference. Relationship is the first one. Worship, apostleship, and hardship. We're going to look at those four this morning. Go back to verse 1 in chapter 18 of the book of Acts. Let's look at the first three verses. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy, and his wife, Priscilla. Sort of a cute idea, huh? Aquila and Priscilla, husband and wife. Because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. A little history. There had been recently in Rome an anti-Semitic stir that caused Jewish people in that town to be expelled from Rome and have to relocate to some other city. So Aquila and Priscilla, who were Jewish believers were expelled from Rome and they set up shop in Corinth. Most people think that Paul didn't lead them to Christ, but rather they had become believers in Rome before they even met Paul the Apostle. Now, here's some other insight. A guy named Suetonius said that there was a riot that broke out in Rome that was what caused the Jews to be kicked out. And the riot, says this Roman historian, was over a man named Crestus, C-H-R-E-S-T-U-S, Crestus. And most scholars believe that that's a mispronunciation of Christos, that a Jewish riot over people coming to Christ broke out in Rome, and it caused the Roman government just to kick them all out. So it could be that Aquila and Priscilla came to Christ already in Rome, met up with Paul in Corinth, and a relationship got struck up. Now, they become very important to Paul. This is where they meet. But later on, they will be with him for quite some time. They'll be with him in Corinth. Later on, they'll be with him in Ephesus. Paul will say of them in Romans chapter 16, they are my fellow workers. They risk their own necks for my life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul will say, I greet Aquila and Priscilla and the church that meets in their home. But here in Corinth, when they first meet, Paul moves in with them into the same home. Verse 2, he came to them. In verse 3, it says he stayed with them. Sort of a cool thought, isn't it? Let Paul live at your house for a year and a half. What an impact would that be to watch this guy at home? But you know what? Home is the place of primary impact because we get to watch people in close proximity. It's the home where kids watch parents. It's the home where a child feels the love of mom and dad for the first time. It's in the home where the child sees that father and mother loving each other or not. It's in the home where that child sees the parents loving God or not, reading the Bible or not. 1% of a child's time will be spent in Sunday school. 1%. 7% of a child's time will be spent in school, public school, private school, their public education. But 92% of a child's time, thus influence, is from the home. Now think about that. Because sometimes we say, you know, the church needs a strong Sunday school program for my kids. And I'd agree with you. It's one of the things we've worked hard and I think we've done a good job in achieving. However, while that is important and we want to raise the flag of having good Sunday school department, I also want to raise the flag even higher of saying, we only have your child 1% of the time. You have that child 92% of the time. Let's say, let's have godly homes. Let's have a good curriculum in the home, because that's the place of primary impact. Charles Spurgeon used to say, before a child reaches 7, teach him all the way to heaven. And better yet, the work will thrive if he learns before he's 5. So early on, in the home, maximum impact is made. Some years ago, a head coach, football coach, divorced his wife after 26 years of marriage. And he dumped his wife after he made the transition from coaching college football to being a head coach in the NFL. You know why? He said, I needed a wife while I was coaching college ball for social reasons. I wanted to be a good example to parents that I take care of their sons. But he said, in the NFL, I don't need a wife. In fact, he said a wife would be an unneeded accoutrement and a distraction to winning. And then this coach went on to say, the most important thing in my life, number one, is winning football games. But then he said, Number two priority is my sons. No, I would say your only priority is winning football games, because if you love your sons, you treat their mom with love, because you're making an impact in those kids' lives on how to treat other people, especially a woman. So the home, place of primary impact. I hope your home has priorities. I hope in your home you love Jesus and you love your spouse and you love your children, and they can see that. So relationship in the home, place of primary impact. But number two is working with people. Look at the third verse. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and he worked. For by occupation, they were skenapoias, tent makers, workers with leather and with cloth. Now every rabbi had a profession, a trade, and Paul grew up making tents. So he comes to Corinth and he starts working in the secular field. By the way, Corinth was a commercial city. It was a place of trade. If you wanted to make a buck or a shekel, you'd go to Corinth. And it was so important, get this, you have to look at it geographically, but Corinth was located on this big peninsula called the Peloponnesian Peninsula. Say that 10 times. It's a place connected and separated from Greece by a narrow neck of land called an isthmus. It was 3.5 miles wide, and then it broadened out into this big peninsula. You had one of two choices. If you wanted to get from the Adriatic to the Aegean Sea to Corinth, you could sail your ship 200 miles around, or they would take your boat and put it on wheels, drag it across land from one port to the other, 3.5 miles. You say, boy, these people are motivated if they're dragging boats out of the water 3.5 miles. They were, because of the importance of trade in that city. Here's the point. Aquila and Priscilla, who had a trade in that town, worked close with Paul and were able to watch the way he worked. What kind of conversations, what kind of ethics he had in the work world with other people. Well, next to the home, the workplace is a place of maximum impact, simply because we spend half of our waking hours on the job. If you live to be 70 years old, you will have spent a total amount of time, 20 years of your life will be spent in working. No wonder you're so tired, right? But here's the point. Our place of occupation is the staging area, you might say, of the Christian life. It's where people get to watch us at a whole different level than in the home. You see, they wonder, well, how do Christians work? What are their work ethics like? And they hear our casual conversations. They hear the kind of things we talk about, gossip about, complain about, love. They get to hear our personal evangelism, but more than anything else, they watch the way we work. And I think one of the greatest concerns of the believer ought to be doing a good job. It's a great witness. I had a friend that worked in a hospital with me, and this was years ago, and he was an intern. His job was to get patients from the floors and bring them down. One of the things about this particular young Christian man is that the patients he brought down were always about 15 to 30 to 45 minutes late. So they started saying, you know, you're always late bringing these patients down. I got him aside. I said, what's the deal? He goes, well, I'm up on the floors and I just start witnessing to people. I said, that's really good. That's commendable. I'm glad you're an evangelist. Do it on your own time. What do you mean? I'm supposed to witness. You're right, but you're not being paid by the hospital to witness. You're being paid to get patients. So if you really love these people, come in early, take your lunch break, stay over late, and witness to them. But while you're here, be a good worker, because that's one of the best witnesses you can have for the gospel. Now, when you hear the word Stradivarius, what comes to mind? Besides violin. Do you think cheap, junk, $10 violin. No, you think quality, excellence, the best. You know why? It's because Antonius Stradivarius, the designer, believed that if any violin would leave his shop, it should be near perfect as humanly possible. He said, other men will make violins, but I'll make the best. And this is why, quote, God needs violins to send his music into the world. And if any of my violins are defective, God's music will be spoiled. So he instilled into his workers that threshold of quality work so that people would have maximum impact from the good work that they did. So relationship is the first level that we can all make an impact and influence on people's lives at home and on the job. There's a second, worship. In Corinth, in verse 4, they were able to watch Paul go to the synagogue on the Sabbath. In verse 11, he continued there 18 months teaching them the word of God. But look at verse 4. And Paul reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. If you were in Corinth on the Sabbath, you would always see Paul there. He was there every, it says, Sabbath. So Paul displayed a consistent expression of worship. Wouldn't it be cool to watch Paul worship? Aquila and Priscilla saw him worship. Timothy and Silas, in the next verse, saw him worship. Now you might be thinking, but Skip, we're not supposed to watch other people worship. We're supposed to be focused on God. Yeah, you're right, we're supposed to, but we do. It's who we are. We do notice the way people worship. And frankly, I don't think it's all that bad to do so. I think it can be healthy. Because I think if we're in a group and we're always closing our eyes and always just, you know, it's us and God, and we can do that at home. The fact that we're together in a community can be very exciting to worship with other people and get how they're doing it.
When people see us worshiping the Lord, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week, they'll know we're different and that we truly love the Lord. Now, here's Skip and Lenya with more thoughts on worship.
You know, every person has the opportunity, some kind of influence on the people around them, whether at home or their neighbors or workplace. You know me, I'll talk to anybody anywhere. And if I see someone that's distraught, I tend to stop, whether I'm in the grocery store. In today's message, you explain the importance of realizing how your worship can influence relationships with others. What attitude of worship should we have if we want to make a great impact in the world?
Yeah, in our message, we talked about how Paul was living with people, working with people, and worshiping with people. And we looked at those three categories. So when it comes to worshiping with people, you know, the text talks about how Aquila and Priscilla went with Paul into the synagogue every Sabbath. So being in the synagogue with Paul, you could watch how Paul did worship. You could watch and listen to Paul, how he gave a message. You could watch how he sang a song, how he prayed for people. Not that our eyes ought to be on people when we worship. However, I think it's very encouraging to be among people and to eat, not just to close my eyes all the time, but to open them up and see a person's passion, passionate response to the Lord. That really encourages me. I'm instructed by it. I'm humbled by it sometimes. I met this lady not too long ago. She's facing a fatal disease. But her quality of love for Christ and her kind of worship was so deep and so inspiring that all my issues, problems, gripes, complaints, they evaporated when I was with her in worship. So I get to see how a person prioritizes things. That's what Aquila and Priscilla were able to see with Paul in the synagogue every week.
And I think that worship is contagious. I know when I come to the house of the Lord that I see people and I go, oh, look at them raising their hands or whatever their response is, and it causes me to want to respond in the same way. So you never know. There may be someone next to you at church, wherever you are, and they're just waiting, you know, for someone to kind of give an invitation to loosen up and let go and love God better in that moment.
As Christians, we should constantly be growing spiritually. We also have the privilege to help other believers do the same. Encourage the people in your life to grow in their faith. Order today's teaching as a gift for someone you know. It's only $6 plus any donation you give above that amount. Just visit connectiononline.org/radio or call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888.
Join us tomorrow when Skip explains how we can make an impact through hardships and discipleship.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wound. Make a connection. A connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.